Mr.
Senator Pogorvelli.
President, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate, please. Good morning, Mr.
President.
Good morning. I'd like to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Come to order. Prayer by the chaplain.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogorvelli.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
Okay, on that motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Senator Kathy Sharon for Pastor Don Roberts.
Good morning, everyone. Yes. This morning, I'll be reading a prayer that was written by a former pastor from my district. His name is Pastor John Roberts. If you do not remember, let me remind you of his story. His is a story of endurance and heroic retention of optimism and hope and generous spirit under extraordinarily difficult personal circumstances. And I thought about John Roberts during the last several days, during our long hours of difficult negotiations. At times, I felt the straitjacket of negotiations, the powerlessness that comes with having to let a process over which we all have a piece but minor control as it plays its way out, and the constant effort we each have to make to define and exercise our abilities to make this final work meaningful. With our influence, no matter how great or small that influence is. Pastor John Roberts has ALS. He is completely paralyzed, with the exception of the ability to move his eyes and blink. He has been confined in a wheelchair for at least 6 years, the 6 years that I've known him, and he uses his ability to move his eyes and blink. He uses an alphabet chart to communicate with his family and his friends. As a matter of fact, he's written a book. And I presented a flyer on that last year, if you don't remember. He also continues to write very short sermons in this way. And he wrote a prayer that was written specifically for the Minnesota Senate. His prayer is his gift to us, along with a reminder he presents us of what it really means to adapt to circumstances that are not of his choosing and certainly not his preference. And yet he finds a way to ferret out the positive and make meaningful work. So his real gift to us is how to capture and value the meaning of what we have today, rather than be obsessed or embittered by the opportunities we've lost. And this is his prayer. We thank you for the people we serve. Strengthen us to serve them well. Guide each of us in the decisions we make on their behalf. Give us the courage to do what is right and the wisdom to know what is right. We thank you for this opportunity to serve. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Folby, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogamiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
Quorum is present. Message from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform you that the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota is now duly organized for the 2010 special session pursuant to law, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President.
Pogermiller.
Could we take bill introductions, please?
Senator Cohen introduces Senate File Number 1, a bill for an act relating to the state budget, balancing proposed general fund spending and anticipated general fund revenue, etc.
Introduction and first reading.
Mr. President, what motion would Des like me to take so Senator Cohen could explain the bill?
I think he can just start explaining it.
I would yield to Senator Cohen.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, members, House File 1 obviously is the budget bill that we've been discussing the last several days and represents the compromise between the governor and the legislature relative to how to close the gap and deficit in our state budget. I'd like to comment for just a minute on the changes from the bill we passed off the Senate floor. I think it was 2 days ago, but I'm not quite sure. And Senator Berglund, I trust, will be here to talk in some greater detail about what was the major sticking point between the legislature and the governor, and that is how to handle the health care portion of the bill as represented originally by her conference committee report. Mr. President, members, the two principal differences between what you have in front of you now and what we passed off the floor previously are two sections. First of all, members might recall that in our bill we had directed a 0.5% cut to the state agencies. Certainly we have imposed on the agencies over these last couple of years, but have imposed on many other significant parts of the budget. And it was felt that if we did something on a very limited basis, that that might be doable. The administration objected to some of the agency cuts, principally corrections and public safety. They had also made an objection to military affairs and veterans affairs. However, in the bill we had passed off the floor, those agencies were exempted previously. So as you took a look from what had left the Senate floor originally, I guess it was held at the desk, but what we had passed off the Senate floor, we had booked an amount of $14 million in cuts through the 0.5%. However, the largest agencies left were corrections and public safety. When you took those agencies out, that represented an elimination of about $9 million of the cut, leaving somewhere $4 to $5 million. The administration, again, took the position more or less that they would prefer not to have any further cuts in the agencies. As a consequence, it was determined to take the entirety of that out. Now, what Senator Berglund is going to talk about in a little bit more detail than myself is that left a $14 million gap in our attempt to close the budget deficit. The other situation that was fairly significant was the fact that the governor had objected to the surcharges that had been imposed in Senator Berglund's original Health and Human Services bill. The elimination of those surcharges, coupled with the elimination of the $14 million, left a gap of $84 million to balance the budget. The governor volunteered to the legislature a cut of $84 million in...
Very important legislation, and please pay attention. Senator Cohen.
Well, thanks, Mr. President. I really appreciate that. The governor had proposed to the legislature a cut of $84 million in the cash flow account. This is something that we've never done before, at least during all the time I've been in the state legislature. The cash flow account is an account. It's not a transfer money. It's a one-time. It's an open and standing account for cash flow purposes. Obviously, one of the issues we've talked about during this year's legislative session is that cash flow is of a significant concern to the administration, a concern to all of us, as to whether or not Minnesota's going to be able to meet its cash flow obligations. We have to maintain accounts of money to handle the ebb and flow of what is coming in and going out. In the past couple of sessions, for instance, I know the House at one point had eliminated the entirety of the cash flow account of $350 million to get into conference committee. But we've never passed, again, as far as I know, a diminishment in the cash flow account. However, in an effort to settle this matter, and because of the administration's strong objection to the imposition of the surcharges, as well as the elimination of this agency cut, we agreed reluctantly to accept the administration's offer of an $84 million one-time cut to the cash flow account. Now, there is, as members recall, a section that I had authored relative to cash flow, language requested by the administration to help the Office of Management and Budget more effectively manage what happens with the cash flow in terms of either the acceleration of payments or the delay of acceleration of payments in, sales tax payments in, or the delay of payments out. So the administration feels they have the ability to manage the cash flow despite the cut of $84 million. This is something that I have always resisted, but again, we need to balance the budget to get out of here, and this seemed to be the a not very good way, but the best way out of a bad situation. The other significant change in the non-human service part of the bill is the elimination of the $35 million contingent appropriation based upon the receipt of FMAP money to fill the deficit in the state grant program. This was a provision, members, as you might recall, authored originally by the House. It's been something that has been supported by many senators. Senator Pappas, notably, has worked very hard relative to that deficit in the grant program. And it was hoped that maybe this contingent appropriation would be of some help to students who are going to face some financial difficulty with the start of the fall semester this year. However, the administration, in the back and forth, had agreed to our position that we should let the FMAP money, if received from the federal government, drop to the bottom line to serve, in effect, as a cash reserve against further shortfalls and deficits for the rest of this calendar year. But they've felt that they did not want to go along with this contingent appropriation. This was a decision finally made, I believe, about an hour or so ago, hour and a half ago, was the final piece of this package. So what we have in front of us is that if the federal government comes through with the entirety of the FMAP money, that money does fall to the bottom line. I think that is certainly advisable. That's basically what we had in the bill as we passed it off the Senate floor. Again, allows for any further, serves as a guard against any further shortfalls. Members, that is the entirety of the changes made on what I'll call my side of the bill. I'll just make one additional editorial comment, if I might. Obviously, what has precipitated this very unusual situation was the Supreme Court's decision in the case of Brayton versus Plenty, declaring the governor's unallotment action of last year to be in contravention of state statute. We've had a lot of discussion on the floor and at this early and or late hour. It's not my intent to get into a lengthy discussion, but at some point over the last couple of days when we had a break, I kind of reread the opinion, and it struck me that the Supreme Court's redress in reestablishing an appropriate balance of power between the executive and the legislative branch was not dissimilar to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision of 1803 in Marbury versus Madison, when Chief Justice John Marshall, in his opinion, set out the appropriate relationship between the federal judicial branch and the federal executive branch. And I think Brayton versus Plenty will go down in Minnesota history as that redress relative to the appropriate balance between the legislative and the executive branch in the state of Minnesota. And I think a future directive, not just for this administration and this legislature, but for administrations and legislatures in decades to come. So, Mr. President and members, those are the changes from the bill we passed. Obviously, at the center of what's been going on the last couple of days has been the Senate's position relative to trying to bring Minnesota into the extended enrollment program and what that was going to represent for folks in this state. Senator Berglund has worked very hard in attempting to provide some of that support. She's going to be able to explain what compromise we have and what hope there is over this next year relative to that program.
Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Human Services part of this bill has just a couple of changes in the appropriations. There is $10 million that's added to the uncompensated care pool for the General Assistance Medical Care Program, and that the availability to claim against that pool is extended from November of this year to March of next year. In addition, the $1 million for the Positive Alternatives Program was no longer able to be funded. Other changes to the General Assistance Medical Care Program is that the legislation would legally allow the commissioner to enter into the kind of contracts that they have entered into with four hospitals already, which would allow those hospitals to limit their liability and exposure by capping the number of patients that they would have to take into a coordinating care organization system. The other language change to the bill, a major language change to the bill, is that the early opt-in to the Medicaid enrollment for individuals without children, that is in the bill, but the bill language would allow the governor to not exercise that option unless the governor would send an executive order to the Department of Human Services ordering them to send in their application for a state plan amendment. It would allow a successive governor to do the same. The successive governor would have until January 15th of next year to issue that executive order. And they could choose not to issue an executive order as well. I believe those would be the major changes in the legislation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Question, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, before we go further, do we have a copy of the bill. I've been waiting to read a copy of the bill, and I don't know if anybody else has a copy, but I'd hate to say that I voted on this without reading the bill. I think I've heard that before. I think we're at about 260 pages. And, at this early hour with, the last 48 to 60 hours, I know for myself, I've only had 3 hours of sleep during that period of time. So are we planning on making the decision at this time, Mr. President?
Mr.
Senator,
Mr. President.
Miller.
Mr. President, the House will process the bill first. They have not yet convened. I don't believe there'll be any amendments. I don't even think technical amendments, but theoretically there could be a technical amendment. They will send it to us. We will capture the House file at the desk, suspend the rules, and take up the House file for passage to the governor.
Senator Cohen.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, if this would make you any happier, there was discussion on the floor relative to the position of the administration in terms of the budget bill we had in the last couple of days. I mean, the charge from the governor relative to this bill is to try to get it to his desk as quickly as possible. You know, I think he wants the cash flow authority that's in this bill. I think he wants to make sure the state's budget is in order as best it can. And I'll be clear. This is, I think, the best of a bad situation. This is not a very good bill. I don't suggest that this is in any way a perfect bill or a perfect resolution to our budget crisis this year. But I think it's not just simply the legislature, but the governor that is asking for quick action. So I hope that provides some reassurance to all members of the Senate. Mr. President, if I might just, I don't know if there are other questions, but I realized, and we have to wait for the House anyways, I realized I was remiss in offering an explanation of the bill in forgetting something. You know, we heard the very eloquent speeches we had, I guess, yesterday afternoon by our colleagues who are retiring. I think in this kind of surreal environment, we kind of forget, kind of like our variation of jet lag. We had a lot of the folks talk about staff, and I think under this very unusual situation, I would be remiss if not mentioning the work of the staff involved with this bill that have gone through a couple of nights without sleep, basically. First of all, the majority leader staff, spearheaded by Ms. Kilmhelgen, they've been here throughout the couple of nights and shepherding all of this and working tirelessly. Would mention my staff, Ms. Babine and Ms. Kaplan, who have also been here throughout the night doing the work. Notably, I'd mention this is Ms. Kaplan's first year here, and she's now going to have to make an attempt to explain to her family and friends exactly what she does for a living and how this intersects with daily life. Obviously, Senator Berglund can speak to her staff. They've become used to working side by side with Senator Berglund. And obviously, the nonpartisan staff, a lot of discussion on the floor yesterday about what the staff means, but this is when it's really driven home. I forget who made a reference to, I think it was Senator Frederickson, to the Council, to the Finance Committee, Mr. Watson, who, as best I know, I think only sleeps one night a week during the session. Obviously, and I think Senator Murphy talked about the Chief Fiscal Analyst, Mr. Mossman, who always does spectacular work, but certainly under this crisis environment has done even more spectacular work. And I think the person, and Senator Berglund would have to correct me if I'm mistaken, but I think the person from House Counsel who has done the work relative to preparation of this bill, Ms. Kavanaugh. So, again, I realize it's not necessarily early morning, but for us it's whatever it is. I think we should make sure we understand that we're pretty exhausted, but nowhere near what the staff has been. And again, Mr. President, as Senator Pogemiller mentioned, we're waiting for the House to convene. So I would, I think Senator Berglund and I would be happy to answer questions, have a discussion.
Senator Jed Olson, do you have a comment or question?
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Cohen, I was just reflecting on your word usage that the staff has worked tirelessly. I don't know if it's a word, but I think they have worked tiredly. They've been able to work in spite of tiredness. It hasn't been less so because they certainly have been missing the the sleep. So I just have great respect and regard for their ability to carry on. That we could do as well would be something. So thank you all.
Discussion, Senator Pogermiller.
Okay, Mr. President, I'm going to make a motion to suspend the rules so we can take second reading on the Cohen bill. But the procedure will ultimately be when the House file comes over, we will deal with the House file. So, Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meeting of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 1 its second and third reading.
Discussion, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wish to impose a call of the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Limmer.
And Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under.
On a motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carries.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Is it appropriate to make the further reading? I move that further proceedings under the. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not asking for a roll call. I do wish to ask for a roll call, Mr. President. Mr. President. Maybe I'm a little more blurry this morning than anything else.
I'm not totally tracking it.
Right. I asked to impose a call of the Senate, and I think the following motion, the last half of the motion, is to call in absent members. Is this the appropriate time to do that?
Yes.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and that the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
Yeah, on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
And Mr. President, I ask for a roll call on Senator Pogermiller's motion.
On the suspension and to get to the second reading? Okay, there will be a roll call. Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. 55 ayes and 6 nays, the motion. 7 nays, the motion does prevail. Secretary will give the bill its second reading.
Senate file number 1.
Mr. President.
Second reading. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I would move to lay Senate file number 1 on the table.
On the motion to lay Senate file 1 on the table. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The bill is laid on the table.
Mr. President, I believe there's an introduction at the desk.
Senators Stumpf, Olson G., Saltzman, Bonhoff, and Wieger introduce Senate File Number 2, a bill for an act relating to education, providing for policy and funding for kindergarten through grade 12 education.
First reading of Senate bills.
Same motion, right? Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meeting of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate File Number 2, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate File Number 2 its second reading.
Okay, on the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Ortman, do you have a... Senator... Senator Stumpf.
Thank you.
First, we'll give it its second reading.
Senate File Number 2.
Second reading. Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, I thought Senator Ortman wished to speak. Did she not get acknowledged in time, or what was that?
That kind of was my fault. I think I saw her after I'd made the next...
Mr. President, could she speak?
I apologize for that.
I think it would be good if she had a chance to speak.
Let her speak.
That's fine. Senator Ortman, I'm sorry. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate a moment on this question of whether there is an urgency. I agree, Mr. President, that these are very important matters, very pressing matters for the state, and that's why we're all here this morning after the following or the previous 48 hours, which have been very difficult for all of us and our staff. I agree that there is an urgency in terms of our budget, but I don't agree that there is an urgency that we must vote on this bill today. Even though we're in special session, it seems to me that we could take our time here. My apologies, Mr. President.
Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. As you know, last evening, the Senate Education Bill was sent back to the Conference Committee. And through the evening and into the morning hours, there was discussions with the governor and his staff and the House and the staff over there and our Senate staff. And we were able to look at the provisions that we had in our proposal last evening and made several changes, and I'll just identify those changes. I think that with those changes, we can move forward and adopt an education bill. The first change was to remove the referendum language from the bill. And as you remember, the discussion last night that was an issue of some controversy. Second item that was removed from the bill was the charter schools facilities language and all of the modifications to that language. Two other changes were made, were deleted from that language. One was the physical education provisions and the healthy child awareness part. That was removed because the provision was passed in another bill that we passed last evening that was sent to us from the House. And that is true also with the Metro School for the Deaf. That provision, as you remember, was passed here, sent to the House, and then was adopted and sent to the governor. And so that provision was passed. So with those deletions from the package that you saw last evening, we are able to move forward with the remaining part of the education package and hope that I can have your support to get that done. And I believe Senator Olson and I were working together along with, as I mentioned, the governor's staff and the House staff, and maybe Senator Olson, if I could yield to you for comment.
Senator G. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Stumpf. I am pleased that we have been able to take some action in order to not have sacrifice everything over a couple of items. And so I appreciate that kind of support. I appreciate Senator Saltzman, after all of her hard work, willingness to give, if you will, on the charter school. It was a very important provisions and very important work. But I think most of us have been through disappointments, and we live to fight and work another day on important matters. And I do hope, even though there's still some uncertainty of what's going on in the other body, I do hope that we can have a bill passed that will accomplish what we've accomplished in these pieces, knowing that there is more to do, and that this process can in fact work, and that we will go forward with it. So I do hope that we'll support this bill.
Senator Saltzman.
And on the same point, Mr. President, I do want to thank Senator Stump. There's a number of school districts that have provisions in this bill in terms of fund transfers, and those fund transfers are very, very important to them. And had we sent this bill to the governor last night, it would have been vetoed, and they would not have gotten those, you know, provisions. So I want to thank the Senate for intervening and asking for reconsideration. And I am disappointed that the charter school, you know, provisions are not in there, because it is reform. But it wasn't right to hold a bill up so that these schools and these other provisions could not be included. So it's not as exciting of a bill, but it's still a very, very important bill. And I think we need to thank Senator Olson and Senator Stump for going down to the governor's office this morning and working on this, because this was not part of the original deal last night. And I also want to thank Governor Pawlenty for being willing then to include this in this special session.
Senator Lynch.
Mr. President, thank you. And Senator Saltzman, thank you for that acknowledgement. And these fund transfers are the opportunity that we have to give to the school districts to afford them some flexibility. And flexibility that is very much needed in a time when we face significant challenges, and our school districts are facing significant challenges. And again, my thanks to the body and for Senator Stump and the members of the conference committee for their work and their leadership on this effort.
Senator Lantz.
Mr. President, I wish to echo those sentiments, and particularly appreciate Senator Stump's work and those of Senators Saltzman, Bonhoff, G. Olson, and Uyghur. These fund transfers are very important to some of our individual school districts. They're not so big in the scale of what we deal with in the other big budget bill today, but for each individual school district, they have a significant impact on the administration, on the teachers and the students. We appreciate the extra work. While I would have liked to see the Senate file in its original form with all the pieces, the referendum renewal and the charter school work that Senator Saltzman worked so hard on, I think this is the best that we can do under the circumstances this year, and we appreciate the support.
Further discussion, Senator Stumpf.
Mr. President and members, there is a tracking sheet, a budget sheet on your desk that shows those changes. And then I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank the members of the conference committee and also all of the members of the education committee. There was a lot of work, as it was mentioned last night in the discussion, a lot of time spent on different issues, and I think the debate and discussion throughout the session was very open, and a lot of contributions from both sides of the aisle, and I want to extend my gratitude to all of the members that participated. And I'd like to take and also acknowledge the enormous amount of work that the Senate staff puts into it. They're there day in, day out, evening, all through the night. Whenever you need them, they're there. And I definitely express, I think, all of our appreciation for the good work that they do. And finally, I'd like to thank the Majority Leader's Office for helping put all of the pieces together and assisting us when we needed some help. So,
further discussion, Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'm wondering if the author would provide or some discussion for the benefit of the members of the Senate. Part of this bill, and I'm looking here, I think it's in sections 5 and 6, but it has to do with the assessment part of this bill. And as this did not come to the Senate as a separate bill, and we have not really had a chance to get acquainted with this as a body, I'm wondering if there could be a review of the content of the bill and the language of what we're doing with respect to the testing piece.
Senator Stump.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Hand. The language is the same as the language that was in the bill last night. If you have that copy, or it's also on the computers, or on the electronic version too. The language was language that came from the governor's office. It came from the department, and the original language was included three tests and all of the language that went with the end of course testing. And in the discussion this morning in the governor's office, we had talked about it. There were Representative Demmer and several others, and the feeling was that this was something that was important to all of the schools, all of the districts across the state. And even though the it has been scoped down a little bit in terms of the original language had a fiscal cost in the first, or in, I believe it was in FY11 of somewhat over $300,000. The fiscal cost in this proposal was acceptable at, we included one test, which is the Algebra 2 test, and deleted the other two tests. And so the department felt that they could absorb that within their budget. And I think this is certainly, from my perspective, I think acceptable, and one that would be important for us to keep. If you have some specific questions, I know Senator Wieger has worked very hard on that, along with I believe some of the House members, and could try to answer some specific questions if you have it.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Stumpf, and perhaps Senator Wieger would be available to talk a little bit about it. I just want to make sure that the body is understanding what we're doing with respect to the tests. I know this is I don't know if I want to use the word controversial. That might be a little bit too strong a term, but I would like the body to be acquainted with what the issue is, what we're doing with the testing. And perhaps Senator Wieger, because he's had so much familiarity with this piece, could at least describe for us what we're doing with the testing and what is different than what we're doing today.
Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, the primary difference is we're going to end of course, end of course. This was a major concern of the governor last year when a few of us met with him, with the commissioner. He wanted to go with end of course tests, and we're going to do it for algebra. There was discussion for biology and a number of other subjects, but because of the budget, we're narrowed here to end of course for algebra. That's what it says, and this is what the commissioner, we have a bipartisan agreement. As to rolling this out, we will continue to have a bipartisan group, Senator Hahn, that will meet, and we expand the membership for some other stakeholders, and as we work out further details for this and the future, we'll look to the leadership of the Assessment Advisory Committee, and that is explained in the bill. And in fact, Senator Hahn, I believe you did have the opportunity to attend a couple of those meetings last year.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Wieger. And I just want to make sure that I understand what this section is doing. We have an end-of-course test for algebra. However, is it correct to say that that graduation is not dependent upon passing that test, but instead passing the course? The test itself will make up a part of the course, but as with respect to other standards that we have that are necessary to pass the standard test to achieve graduation, in this case, what we're doing, at least for a time being, is to roll the testing into the course grade, and so what is required is the passing of the course and not specifically the passing of the standard test. And Senator Wieger, could you confirm if I describe that accurately?
Senator Wieger.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, I would confirm what you just said.
Further discussion, Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that being said, Mr. President, I believe that the language that relates to this topic that we're just talking about is in Section 6 of Article 2. And I'd like to move to delete that section.
Is to delete
Leroy.
Senator Porkenmiller.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, just so everybody understands, if we amend, I'm not trying to talk you out of amendments, but ultimately we're going to take up the House file. What I would suggest, though, is that so we know where we are when the House file comes over, that we do find out if we're going to amend this bill. So I would propose that we do the work, but then be aware that when the House file comes, we're going to capture it. And I would think the agreement should be then to put on whatever the Senate has done on the Senate file onto the House file and then send it back to the House. Now, if the House is adjourned, it's over. And someone could then say, well, I don't want to put in what the Senate did. I want to just take the House language. So that's what would happen. I'm just trying to describe what everybody's alternatives will be. For the Senate, it would be better to process it all on the Senate file, and if nothing changes, life is good. If something changes, you run the risk that someone will intervene in a motion to put the Senate file language on, and a vote could reverse what the action of the Senate was on the Senate file.
Mr. President.
Senator Hahn.
Could I ask a question of Senator Stumpf?
Yes, he will answer your, try to answer.
Thank you,
question.
Mr. President. And my question is, when does this go into effect, this particular section that we're talking about?
Okay, Senator Stumpf, is that Section 6 then you're asking about? Or, okay, Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I might have to refer to Senator Wieger. This actually is the language that the commissioner, Commissioner Segrin, I believe, submitted to us from the department. And Senator Wieger, do you have the effective date?
Mr. President, Senator Han, the effective date for the section at 18.16 is the day following final enactment. To be further specific on the class that is affected for the end of course assessment, it would be for students entering grade 8 in 2010-2011 school year. And I'll repeat, Mr. President, there would be the continued work and expansion of the bipartisan Assessment Advisory Committee appointed by Commissioner Segrin.
Thank you, Mr. President, for that information. And so I do want to renew my motion to remove this. I understand, Senator Pogamiller, what you're saying is we're working on a Senate file, but ultimately we'll be passing a House file. If our bills are different and the House has been adjourned, we have the option then of taking up the House file and passing it and having a bill, or if we do not, then we may not have a bill. I understand that, I think. But members, the reason for my motion is that I am concerned about the dilution of the standards that we have put in place and the goal of trying to make sure that when students graduate, they have a level of competence that we expect, and the testing, the standard testing, is one of the vehicles by which we know that. In the course of trying to work this out, and I'm not taking issue at all with the idea of end-of-course testing. I think that is a valid methodology to use. But because of the way we have this structured, it means that people can graduate from high school taking a math course and passing that math course, but not necessarily passing the standards that are in the test, in which case I think we have diluted the meaning of the standard. And I have concern about that. I think one of the goals of standards is to make sure that graduates from our high schools have a level of competency that we are assured of. And so I would just renew my motion.
Motion.
And
motion
I'd like a roll
to,
call vote, Mr.
Delete Section 6.
And I'd like a roll call vote.
That's on Article 1, Section 6. Article 2. Senator Stump, any closing?
Mr. President, I want to be sure that we delete the right article, or at least the amendment addresses the right article. And then I would argue that ask that we defeat the amendment. But before we do that, I think the issue at stake is when we assess students with an end-of-course test, do we place how much weight do we place on that final test? And that's where the whole discussion centers around. And we've been discussing this for years, and the department, and I believe the governor, feel, and that's why the language came from the department, that when you use one single test to measure knowledge, and that's all you base it on, or mostly base it on, quite often that one slice in time isn't a very accurate measurement of a student's knowledge and performance. And so those, as Senator Hand would argue, we should be placing lots of weight on that final end-of-course test. What the department is asking for is that we would place a little bit less emphasis on that final test, but include other factors, such as the student's work in a classroom, and the whether a student shows up every day, and how they did on their weekly tests or daily tests. And I think that's kind of the issue at stake here, and I definitely think that there's a lot of students that have difficulty when all the stakes are extremely high and it's all based on one test. Some of us don't do well under pressure, and I think a much more rounded approach of assessment is the way we ought to go, which is the language that's currently here. So I would ask that members would defeat this amendment.
Senator, we're on the amendment. Senator Boniff.
Mr. President, Senator Hahn, members, I would urge you to oppose this amendment. And Senator Hahn, we've discussed about where we are in this process and in this session. And as we spoke about last night, you know, for a very long time, that what we've come forward with this session is not the best of everything the Senate put together, but it was in fact what could get passed. And then we saw how fragile that was last night when we almost got it vetoed. But we came together as a Senate and we protected our school districts and said, you know, whatever we disagree with is not as important as what we agree with. And what we agree with is that we have school districts that need fund transfers. We have school districts that need to be part of the alternative facilities. We have just a few things that we might be able to get done this session. And there is a very fragile deal that was put together by Senator Olson, Senator Stumpf, and House members. And so I would urge you, number one, on the merits, we discussed this in committee, and in fact, this represents what we did in committee, but even if I would like to have, say, for example, the misalignment percentage a little stronger, and I know that doesn't mean much to the rest of the body, but Senator Hahn knows what I'm speaking about, where if you don't pass your test but you get an A in the class, there should be some penalty for the school district that allows grade inflation, because that's one way students are off the hook, and so perhaps we should strengthen that. All that may be true, but I would ask that we come back and do that, that right now we have an opportunity to just get a few things moving forward and to begin the work of end-of-course testing, which is the culmination of many, many long months of work. If we take out this, then literally all of that work is gone, rather than saying, again, may not be perfect, but let's move forward. I spoke to the commissioner this morning, and she asked that we, you know, she was in support of this provision. She offered to speak to people if they were concerned. So that I would ask members that you vote yes for this bill and that we do not do anything to it and risk the chance that we don't come out with a bill at all.
Senator Robley.
Mr. President and members, this provision was just a little different, I think. Did not the Senate, and I would ask maybe Senator Wieger or Senator Stumpf to yield on this, have a 25%? Yes, they said we did. In this proposal, which came out of the conference committee that was briefly held, the House had 20% of the final passing grade counting with the test. We had 25%. And to be perfectly honest, members, there's members in the business community that want it to be 50%. So just to know, I want you to have that information before you vote. The business community does think that the test should weigh heavier in the final passage at the end of the course. And so this is an improvement, though, I believe, in what is currently being used, which allows students to take that test three times, and if they don't pass, they still pass. And so we've been trying to figure out a way to make sure that we put some more teeth into it, and this is a start. It isn't perfect, but we have the committee or the task force that's going to keep working on this, and hopefully they will continue to adjust this figure upward, because I do, too, agree that we should have at least had the Senate's 25%, if not somewhat higher.
I think we're about ready to vote on this amendment. Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Hand moves to amend Senate File 2 as follows. In Article 2, delete Section 6.
Secretary will take the
roll. Mr. President.
Senator Wigger.
I believe Senator Hand didn't want to exclude the mental health education in Section 6, wasn't it Section 8?
I don't know. He indicated Article 2, Section 6 to the body, so I
have an earlier version here.
Okay. I think we're doing what Senator Hand wants to do. Secretary will report, or excuse me, will take the roll on the Hand Amendment. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 16 ayes and 45 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Stump. Table.
Mr. President, I'd move to lay.
Further debate, Senator Stump.
Mr. President, I would move to lay Senate File 2 on the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogue-Miller.
Mr. President, members, we will now wait for the House to send us one or two bills. Apparently, the House has not
come to order,
convened, because the minority caucus has asked for a caucus, as I understand it. So we have to wait until the House convenes and processes the two bills. I think, Senator Senjum, why don't we do our thank yous right now? Senator Senjum, what do you think about that? Mr. President, would that be appropriate to do our thank yous?
Sure, I think that'd be fine. Senator?
Well, Mr. President. Oh.
Senator.
Apparently, Senator Bergen. I meant the leadership thank yous, but Senator Bergen has a thank you.
A lot of thank yous. Thank you. Senator Berglund, thank you for being
you,
a
Mr.
dedicated
President.
Public servant.
Thank you,
Senator
Mr. Berglund. President. I just wanted to say a few words about the staff that works on the Health and Human Services bill. You know, we started out with a really long, hard conference committee.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogue-Miller.
I would move the Senate recess to the call of the chair.
Yeah, on the motion to recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands in recess. Now, Senator Berglund.
So we started out working on the GMC issue and had, you know, a very long, hard, difficult conference committee on that issue. You know, several weekends long, over several weeks, including weekends. And our staff was there working on that, making sure we got it processed in a timely fashion to meet the dates we had to in order to make sure that program didn't expire. Now they've been working very hard on this bill, and I think this is the third version of this bill. So, again, over several weeks, with including weekends, that we were working here at the Capitol. So they have really done a lot of very hard work on this bill. And Mr. Giel, one of our staff people, is going to be retiring after this session is over. And for those of you that don't understand what a big loss that will be to the Minnesota Senate, Mr. Giel is our expert on surcharges, intergovernmental transfers, certified public expenditures, Medicare upper limits, hospital financing, nursing home formulas. So we're really going to lose a wealth of talented experience that he has in helping us in drafting all of these very complicated matters. So especially I want to make sure we give a word of thanks to Mr. Giel. And the other staff, we hope they're going to be able to fill in when he leaves, but to all of them. And our new fiscal analyst, Dennis Albrecht, this is not an easy area to be a fiscal analyst in, and he has really done well this year, and he isn't here now to receive the thanks in person because his mother became very ill, and he had to leave early Sunday morning to go to California to be with her. But all the staff has just done really a great job, and we couldn't, we just couldn't have legislation in this area without them.
Senator Pogomiller.
Mr. President, I also want to thank the members. It's been a good 4 years. And each and every member, I'm sure, will have memories of this 4 years. I want to thank Assistant Clark, and we will miss you. I will miss you, personally. I will miss you. I hope you felt it was a good partnership. I want to thank the Secretaries of the Senate, Mr. Watson and Ms. Zoff, who took the job temporarily and have continued temporarily. They keep telling me we took this job temporarily. I want to thank the front desk, Colleen, Mike, Glenn, and Jessica, and Jared, and I would ask for applause for that group. I want to thank Michelle Timmons in the revisor's office and her troops who have fought valiantly against the indecision and tardiness of the state Senate. I want to thank Senate Information, Scott, John, Marge, and Sydney. Engrossing, Ms. Mapes and her staff who have likewise fought indecision, tardiness by the Senate and the House. In particular, I want to thank our partner, Senator Senjum, who has truly been a joy to work with. And a special shout out to new chief, Cullen Sheehan. I think we all know that, at least on our side, we knew of you by reputation. And so there was a concern that will he fit in? And I just must tell you, Michelle and I have found the team of Cullen Sheehan and Senator Senjum to be extremely professional, decisive, and it's been just a joy. And I genuinely want to thank you, Cullen, for coming to work for the Senate. Want to thank all of our chairs who have all done a good work. In the majority, I always tell the members that I believe in a strong chair system. Some days that gets thrown back at me, but I actually do think that works as long as the chairs are collaborative in their decision making. So to the extent they're collaborative, strong chairs work very well. I want to thank the Council Research and Fiscal staff, particularly Mr. Mossman, who has done fabulous work, and his people, the sergeants, all the CAs and LAs, SIS, media services, fiscal services. This is only one day of per diem members, just to give you a heads up. Someone asked me, can we get two? And the answer is, No, the answer is no. The special session is one day of per diem. The journal, duplicating, index, publications, supply and mail, pages have done an excellent job this year. Thank you so much. And the interns and all of our partisan and administrative staff, we truly thank you all, and a joint applause for all.
Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. And I, too, on behalf of the Minority Caucus, certainly want to thank our staff, partisan, nonpartisan, our desk staff, who do such a wonderful job every day that we're here, and moreover, every many days that we're not. They keep the engine running, and they keep the Senate functioning like in a magical sort of way. And I often wonder who those people are that put these great big documents together in the dead of night, and there they are. And I may never understand that, and I probably don't have to, but there's some people down someplace doing an awful lot of good work. So if you're not here today, certainly thank you to you. I want to certainly thank my minority members for all the work that you've done, and the support, the advice, the guidance that you've given me. It's been invaluable. I look to Deputy Leader Fischbach. She sustains me. She feeds me. She looks after me. She makes sure I get enough sleep. I don't know. It's been a good relationship, and Michelle, thank you so much, and likewise to Colin Sheehan. I want to also thank Colin. Colin came on in January. He knew little about state government or how this place worked or what the dynamics were, but I think Colin has fit in just beautifully, and thank you for all your support, Colin. And likewise, Michelle, wherever you are, we do work as a team. Senator Pogemiller, Colin, myself. And Senator Pogemiller, in particular, I want to point out to you my appreciation, my respect, my admiration, my appreciation for what you do, how you run this place, and our relationship, and our ability, I think, to move things forward. And you think about this grand hall, and you think about our presence here, and you think about just making things happen. Sometimes we may think they're bad things, sometimes we may think they're good things, but nonetheless, things do happen in here, and they happen in many respects because of the leadership that you've shown this entire Senate from the standpoint of moving things along, and always making sure that we don't get too slow, or we don't lag too far behind on our schedules, and certainly our agenda. I want to bid fond farewell to our retirees, and we had some wonderful speeches yesterday, and it's been alleged that maybe Senator Dill's speech was one of the longest in the history of the Senate. So, Senator Dill, we thank you for that. And I would offer that, as we caucused last night, I asked Senator Dill to give us one more story. And I'm not going to ask him to do that today, but whenever you can get a story out of Senator Dill, you're better off for it. So thank you, Senator Dill. And again, thank you for to all the retiring members for the contributions that you have made to this place. In many respects, the advice, the counsel, the mentoring that you've given us that have followed you, and you've made this place a better place, and we will miss you. And as I often say, the Senate's family, and families do fight, and families have differences, but when it gets really right down to it, in times of sorrow, in times of stress, or in times of just the back room and the retiring rooms,
the family always does come together, and the Senate always comes together. We're people, we respect each other, we admire each other, and I think we are able to transcend those differences, certainly on a personal basis, and that's the way it ought to be. And again, I think of this room again. Somebody back in 1905 built this place, and they said, go at it. Go into this room, have the great debate, deal with the issues of the day, but at the end of the day, always probably respect the fact that it is about issues. Let the issues clash, but certainly not the people. And I think that, generally speaking, that's the way this place works, and I thank you all for making it work in that fashion. So I wonder sometimes, you know, we've all been called. How do we get here? And in a lot of different ways, but we have been called to serve, and we've been called to serve perhaps in one of Minnesota's most difficult periods. And there are stresses, and there are times where we do differ, and we do differ strongly. And we're frankly not done with this session yet, and we'll see where the differences might be. But at the end of the day, I think we all come together, and we work for our great state, a state that we all know and love in different ways. But that state of Minnesota and our ability and our responsibility to deal with the affairs of our state, I think, transcend all that we do. And for all of you that have worked so hard over the course of the last 4 years, thank you for that effort. We'll shortly bid each other goodbye. Some of us will be back, some of us won't. But for those that reconvene next January, we will have much to do. Perhaps I'll be included, perhaps I'm not. We're going to face some elections. But to all that are here today, thank you for all your efforts and your good work, and God bless Minnesota. Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Pogemiller.
And then finally, members, one final thank you. I want to recognize the excellent work of our president and President Pro Tem, and Senator Metzen. Senator Senjum and I made a commitment this year to never allow the president to get into the situation you were in last year. We all know that was not good for the Senate. And so we worked, Senator Senjum and I talked about it over the summer and committed ourselves to never putting our president in that position again. Thank you, Mr. President and Mr. President Pro Tem.
Thank
Mr. President, then members, we will recess, and I think just notice the House's activities, and as soon as they process a bill, we will come back in and process a bill. So I move.
Yeah, I've been informed we're already in recess. So
they're working now?
No, I say we're in recess already.
Oh, then it's still at the call of the chair then, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So we'll see members when the House is done processing.
Okay. Senate remains in recess.
Senate will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Madam Chair, I'd like to impose a call of the Senate, please.
Senator Pogemiller imposes a call of the Senate. The Senate is under call.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with, the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following House file herewith transmitted. House file number 1, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
First reading.
House file number 1, a bill for an act relating to the state budget, balancing proposed general fund spending and anticipated general fund revenue.
Okay. First reading of.
Mr. President,
Mr. President,
I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to House File 1, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give House File Number 1 its second and third reading and placed on its final passage.
Okay, on the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Second reading.
House file number 1.
Second reading. Senator Berglund.
Mr. President and members, there's been one amendment added to this bill on the part of the House, and so I just wanted to make sure we understood that. It is in regard to correcting dates. There were incorrect dates in the bill regarding some of the governor's allotments that are being ratified as cuts in this bill. And so the amendment really was just correcting those dates.
Further discussion on the bill. Secretary, give the bill its third reading.
House file number 1, a bill for an act relating to the state budget, balancing proposed general fund spending and anticipated general fund revenue.
Secretary will. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I'd move a call to the Senate.
Senate's under call. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Secretary will take the roll. Final passage, and the Senate is under call. Senate's under call. Seated, you should be voting. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There be it 52 ayes, 14 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article.
We first have to take it from the table.
Mr. President, I move that Senate file number 2 be taken from the table.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion carried. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that an urgency be declared within the meaning of Article 4, Section 19 of the Constitution of Minnesota with respect to Senate file number 2, and that the rules of the Senate be so far suspended as to give Senate file number 2 its third reading and place on its final passage.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Stump, just tell the committee or the Senate that this is a bill we.
Mr. President and members, this is the Senate File 2 is the legislation that we had just discussed earlier on the package of education proposals that we had worked out and would ask for your support.
Further discussion. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 2, a bill for an act relating to education, providing for policy and funding for kindergarten through grade 12 education, including general education, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 66 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is the adjournment resolution available? Or I move,
yes, it is. He'll.
I move resolution number 3.
Nope. Senators Pogemiller and Senjum introduce Senate resolution number 3 relating a Senate resolution relating to adjournment of the special session.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move resolution number 3. It's a notification to the governor and the House that we are going to special session sine die.
Okay. On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President? Oh, I thought he was going to make the motion. Senator Fredrickson, would you rather be in the chair or would you rather make the motion? Okay, Senator, who's next? Senator Vickerman, I would yield to you for the honor of making the motion to sine die the special session.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr.
Mr. President, I move that we end by sine die. My privilege, and let's get home. I got to plant my wife's garden.
On Senator Vickerman's motion that the Senate adjourn the first special session of 2010, sine die. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. The motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned. Sine die.
Record, but